You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. This is a podcast all about wrapping your own mind around your own financial situation. My name is Timmy Stanifer and I am your host. And today I'm here with Laurel Brinkman. She's an insurance agent here at Citizens Bank and she's here to answer all of our questions that we have about insurances. Laurel, it's great to have you here with me today.
Thank you.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience in the insurance world?
Sure. I've been at Citizens Bank for a little over a year, about a year and a half now. I am, as you mentioned, the insurance officer. I run the insurance department. I have about 24 years of experience in the insurance industry in different capacities.
Great. Yeah, that's a lot of helpful experience for us with all the questions that we're going to have for today. So let's start from the very top, the very overview of insurance. Laurel, what is insurance and why does it matter? What does it do for you?
Basically, insurance is going to protect you against any of those financial disasters that might come. Usually they're from unexpected events.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kinds of things does insurance cover? What kind of insurances are out there that are common?
Obviously, you have auto insurance. That's probably the most common that everybody thinks of. And it is required in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's, you know, obviously going to protect you if you get in an accident. It's going to provide liability coverage plus coverage to fix your vehicle. And then there's home insurance, and then that's going to cover the house itself and contents. And then there's renter's insurance, which covers the contents. And both home and renter's insurance also provide the liability as well.
Okay, great. And you mentioned a couple times liability coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes sense to think if you get in a car crash, your car insurance helps fix your car. But what does the liability coverage on these insurance options, what does that do for you?
It's basically, I like to say it's your protection against a lawsuit. It's your financial protection. It protects your assets. If you get in, like, say, a car accident and you don't have enough liability coverage, they can actually garnish your wages. They can, you know, put liens on your home, things like that. So that's really what liability insurance
does. Gotcha. So it's the money to help pay for what the other person might have happened.
Correct.
If someone gets hurt in your home or in your yard, on your homeowner's insurance liability may help pay for their medical bills or something
Correct.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So yeah, let's dig in a little bit deeper into these different types of insurance. Let's start talking about auto insurance. In the state of Wisconsin, as you mentioned, it's required to have auto insurance. But from what I understand, the requirements by the state of Wisconsin are pretty minimal. So can you explain to me a little bit about not only what is required, but what's recommended when you're looking at car insurance? There's all these different numbers. There's different levels of insurance. You can get the different amounts of liability coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me what doing different amounts means for me as the person who owns that insurance policy.
Right. So basically the state minimum coverage is $25,000 per person, up to $50,000 per accident, and $10,000 worth of property damage. That's not coverage for hardly anything.
Okay.
I always tell people when they, you know, especially younger drivers that maybe are taking out their policy for the first time, look around you when you're driving in the road. How many vehicles are worth more than $10,000? Do you really think you should have that coverage? If you were in an accident and you totaled a vehicle that, you know, that was your fault, and you totaled a vehicle, your policy is only going to pay out $25,000 in medical payments, lost wages, any of that kind of stuff per person. And only $10,000 for the property damage of the other vehicle. So that's really not enough coverage.
Yeah, and like you mentioned before, if that coverage isn't sufficient, they can come after your assets or garnish your wages
Correct.
To try to compensate for the difference in how much those people suffered in a financial loss in that accident.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a good thing to consider. So I guess, is there a typical amount you recommend for someone, maybe even a newer driver, coverage-wise, that you recommend above the state minimum?
Well, I mean, really, to be honest, I usually recommend pretty much however much they can afford.
Okay.
Because, to be honest, I mean, nowadays, the way, no offense, but the way society is kind of so crazy, you really, honestly, I mean, you can't have enough coverage.
Okay.
So I guess the standard minimum that our agency recommends is $100,000 per person, $300,000 per accident, and then that's also $100,000 worth of property damage.
Gotcha.
That's really kind of the minimum that we recommend. But you know, then obviously there's an umbrella coverage, which we can talk about later.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother.
That's a whole other animal, it sounds
right.
like. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So now we have a little bit of an overview of the car insurance. That's good to help us get an idea there. So let's go back to that list of what you said the most common ones were. And the second one was homeowners insurance. So like you mentioned, homeowners insurance covers the house and damages to the house. Mm-hmm. And then it also protects the contents inside, as well as you had mentioned that there's liability coverage if someone were to get injured on the property or in the house. So can you explain the difference between that and renter's insurance? And, you know, it seems obvious which situation you would get which in, but maybe it's not. Maybe there's some situations where you wouldn't think you might want renter's insurance and you should have it. So can you explain, I guess, more in detail what each of those are and then what situations you might pursue one versus the other?
Sure. Well, obviously, you need homeowner's insurance when you buy a home. Mm-hmm. And condominium is a different kind of a situation, too. But homeowners or condominium insurance, first of all, if you have a mortgage, the lenders are going to require it.
Yes,
you have
it
to have it.
It is required, I know, by all mortgage lenders that you do have homeowner's insurance as part of your mortgage clause. Yes.
Correct. And usually most homeowners policies are written for, they're going to cover the replacement cost on the dwelling coverage. And what that means is that basically if you had a fire or total destruction of your home, it would cover it to rebuild it.
Okay.
Of like kind and quality of your materials that you have in there right now. They're not going to pay, you know, if you had a 1,000-square-foot house, they're not going to pay to rebuild your house at like a 2,000-square-foot house. But
yeah.
But yes, it's going to be with the same kind of materials and everything that you had in there now.
Okay.
And then as well with like homeowner's insurance is also there's contents. Like we talked about, which is going to be your personal property. That's, you know, anything from your furniture to your clothing to just, you know, anything that's inside your home. And that's obviously, usually it's a percentage of the dwelling coverage.
Okay.
So but that's in there. And then there's different riders you can get on a homeowner's policy as well. You can get coverage for like personal injury, which would be like, you know, and then also like credit card fraud protection, you can get that. There's all different endorsements that you can put on homeowners policies. So.
Gotcha. No, that's really good to know. And then renter's insurance, how is that different? What does that do differently than a homeowner's insurance policy?
Well, renter's insurance isn't going to cover the dwelling itself.
Okay.
So basically if you, you know, are renting a place, it's going to cover your contents. And then it does cover liability as well. So.
Okay. So like if you're renting an apartment and the whole apartment complex burned down, it will cover the cost of the contents that you had within your apartment. Okay. Excellent. That's good to know. And then another one that I don't think we had mentioned yet, but another one that I definitely hear a lot about and I know is a pretty common type of insurance is life insurance. Just as a brief overview, what is life insurance? And I know there's a lot of different types of life insurance and different policy structures, but what is life insurance and what does it provide the insurance holder?
So basically life insurance is something you would take out that in the event of your death, it's going to cover some sort of expenses. Sometimes people take it out if they want, you know, just to cover their burial expenses maybe. Or sometimes people take it if they have a mortgage on their property and they want to make sure that their spouse or family isn't saddled with that debt if they die. So, and then, yeah, there are a lot of different types of life insurance.
Yeah. I know one of the most common is just a flat dollar amount too. And, that's, different. I assume there's different premium costs depending on what's all being covered by the different, policies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I assume for, you know, most any insurance coverage, that is the case. So if you're insuring more things, it's going to cost more
definitely.
Per year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's say something happened. I got in a car accident and I didn't have car insurance, which first of all, I understand is illegal, but it happens. It happens to people. They don't happen to have insurance. They haven't gotten it yet. They get in a car accident. What happens if you get in that accident and you don't have insurance or you don't have enough coverage? I know you mentioned garnished wages, but we didn't really talk about what happens if you just don't have insurance.
Right.
So do you know what, in the state of Wisconsin, what does that look like?
So what can happen is the state can actually go after you as a driver. What they do is they find out, obviously, based on your accident report, they'll find out that you didn't have insurance at the time. And then they'll go after you. So if somebody got injured, they have $50,000 worth of medical bills, they're going to have to come up with $50,000 somehow, some way. And, you know, like I said, usually the most common is that they do garnish wages. If you have assets, they can freeze those as well. So, yeah.
And I'm sure there'd be some sort of criminal charges possibly involved too, if you're not insured. And then, you know, what if I had a house, I had it all paid off. I decided, you know what? I don't have a mortgage anymore. I don't need this homeowner's insurance anymore. But then a year later, a tornado comes through and knocks a tree into my house. What does it look like for me now as that homeowner?
Actually, we have people that actually do that. People, usually they're pretty financially stable, financially well off. They can choose to self-insure. That's what we call it, where you self-insure, where maybe you don't want to pay the homeowner's insurance anymore for whatever reason. But then if something like that happens, it's just your responsibility.
Yeah,
then so you just have to pay for it as an individual.
I would just have to pay the contractors, whatever it costs to fix.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we talked a little bit about insurance premiums and that, you know, obviously if you're going to have a higher coverage amount, it's going to cost more. What other items go into deciding what an annual premium is on different types of insurance? What kind of factors contribute to how much my auto insurance will cost a year?
Well, let's talk about auto insurance.
Yeah, that seems like a good example. Okay. So say I was looking for auto insurance. What goes into the underwriting of this insurance to have them decide how much it's going to cost me to have this insurance?
Well, first, let's start with the vehicle. It's obviously some vehicles are worth more than others. Mm-hmm. Some vehicles are more expensive to repair if they're involved in an accident. So the vehicle, the type of vehicle is going to be, you know, one of the premiums and the year. If it's newer, obviously, it's going to be a little more expensive to insure than if it's older.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, again, it's probably has more technology. It probably has more things in it. It's going to cost more.
Mm-hmm.
Then for the individual itself, your age does go into it a little bit, unfortunately. and then also, you know, your driving record. If you have accidents, tickets, you're going to pay more.
Mm-hmm.
But then something that people don't always think about is also your credit does affect it. We have to run what's called an insurance score. And into that insurance score, a little bit is factored in, is your credit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit in there.
Yeah.
Also, it's kind of your demographics, your things like that. That just kind of goes into the insurance score. Every company is a little different, unfortunately. So there's no 100% it's 50%, you know, your credit score. It's, you know, 20% this, whatever. It's each company is a little different.
It's a blend of all those things.
Correct.
Gotcha. No, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked a bit about the different types of insurance, what makes up your premiums, what the coverages are. Now let's talk about a few different situations that you might run into that you may have questions about. What should I do with insurance here? So first of all, you know, let's say I was going to go into college. I was a college kid just starting off and I was going to live on campus. Is there any sort of insurance for me as a college kid living in a dorm? Is there any kind of insurance for me or my property there on campus?
Well, some of it is going to follow the homeowners, your parents' homeowners policy. Usually there's what's called contents off of premises.
Okay.
Every company, again, is different. Some limit that to, like, say, 10% of your contents coverage. So what that would mean would be, like, say, your parents have $300,000 of contents. You would end up having, like, $30,000 off premises.
Okay.
So that would probably cover everything in your dorm room.
Okay.
But so sometimes that is the case. Where we run into it, where there's more of a different need, would be if you decide to rent an apartment off campus or live off campus. Then sometimes the landlord may require renter's insurance, or that's just a good thing. You may just want to get your own renter's insurance. And the main reason would be, obviously, there's probably other people that live with you. Usually they don't live by yourself. So there's increased liability. So if something happens, then, you know, like if you cause something or if one of your suite mates causes something, that can go on your parents' homeowner's policy.
Oh, yeah.
So it can be a detriment that way.
Yeah, that's a good thing to consider. Another thing that I thought of while we were talking is I hear a lot about bundling policies together. So let's say I'm considering different types of insurance. Another case that I'm sure comes up a lot is what's the benefit to trying to do some sort of bundled insurance versus keeping them all separate or independent?
Okay. Usually we tell people that if the more policies you can write with one company, it's the better. Some companies actually even life insurance, but for the most part, usually it's auto and home. If you bundle that, usually you get like a 20% or sometimes 25% discount.
Okay.
For doing that, for combining them. And then sometimes even, like I said, there's a handful of companies we have that life insurance, they'll even get like an additional couple, couple percentage discount if you put life insurance with them.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it can definitely help you save money.
Yeah, for sure. And so, and you also mentioned an umbrella policy. How does that work? Is that part of a bundle or what is an umbrella policy?
An umbrella policy is a personal liability policy.
Okay.
And how that works is it's basically just additional liability. So for your auto and your home, you're going to have what you would call like your underlying liability. Usually it's going to, on average, let's say 300,000. You have 300,000. So what this is going to do is an umbrella policy provides an additional $1 million worth of coverage.
Okay.
You do have to pay for that. You know, it's an additional premium, but it's going to go over your auto and your home. Anything that you have insured underneath, it's going to go. And usually that's why usually companies, when you're talking about the bundling,
yeah,
usually companies would require your auto and your home insurance, and then they'll write an umbrella policy.
And then they'll umbrella with that. Mm-hmm.
So gotcha. Basically what that would be is like, so instead of you having 300,000 on your auto, you would have $1.3 million worth of coverage.
Okay.
Should something happen.
Gotcha.
So an umbrella policies are actually pretty inexpensive.
Okay.
So you can usually get one for less than $200 a year, depending upon what you have.
Wow. That's very good to know about. And so another corner case here, you're talking a little bit about life insurance again. I'm sure people have questions as you grow older. How should my life insurance coverage change? Should I pursue more of a life insurance coverage? Mm-hmm. Should I pull back on my coverage amount? What kind of situations lend to revising the amount of life insurance that I should be pursuing, the coverage or how much the payout would be to my beneficiaries?
So basically, we recommend when you start, you know, usually the start of life insurance is when people buy homes,
mm-hmm.
get married, have children. You know, that's kind of when, anytime there's like a major life kind of thing, you get a big promotion at work. Maybe you need more coverage because you have more assets. Again, things like that. So as time goes on, usually we recommend increased life insurance.
Okay.
But then there comes a point where, say, maybe you don't have a mortgage on your house.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any credit card debt. You have no debt, anything. You're nearing the end of your life. Maybe your kids are all grown. You have less financial burden should mm-hmm. something happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So then maybe sometimes then people will take out less life insurance.
Gotcha.
So it just depends.
Gotcha. And I'm sure, as you said before, with the different policy expenses, as something becomes higher risk, if you are older or become ill, I'm sure the life insurance does become more expensive with that as well to consider.
So, definitely.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to consider, that it kind of seems like a bell curve of sorts where you start by not needing too much, and the more that you take on, the more people that depend on you, you may need to have more. And then as you get older and you may have more assets and less liabilities, it's less of a need and maybe something you may still want, but maybe not as necessary to really make sure that people aren't stuck with your financial liabilities.
Right.
So yeah, those are some great points and some good little situations to talk over. And now I'm just going to mention a few do's and don'ts, some things that we talked about or mostly you talked about and mentioned with the insurance here. And just maybe things we haven't touched on yet. So, kind of drawing from what you said, I think something that seems important is to talk to your insurance agent regularly to check in and let them know of any major life events so that they can let you know if there's any different products or pricing options that you should be considering. It's one of the last things you were just talking about. As you go through different stages of life, there are different insurance coverages that may be beneficial that you hadn't considered yet. And that's definitely something that I've gathered here today. And something that I know from working with you personally, one of the benefits of having an insurance agent rather than just going online is the insurance agent typically will have access to multiple different places they can pull quotes from if they are an independent agent. I know, Laurel, right. you at Citizens are an independent agent. Right. And how many agencies are you able to pull quotes from for different insurances?
For companies, we have about 15 different companies.
Not, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Companies, not agencies.
That's okay. Yep.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different companies. So, you know, say you went to a website and went to get insurance from this one specific company, you're only going to get that one specific company's pricing for you. Whereas if I came to Laurel and I said, hey, I'm just looking for some insurance on my car, can you get me some quotes? She can check in with a bunch of different companies to see what the best pricing will be for me. And I don't have to do the legwork, which is kind of nice. So that is one of the benefits of having an independent insurance agent rather than just a dedicated company that you have to go through for everything. And I would say another thing that you should definitely do is keep your eye on your credit score. I know it was kind of a passing thought, but I'm sure we'll be talking about it in a lot of different episodes. Credit score comes up a lot as an important aspect of your financial health, and it's a good representation of how you take care of your finances and take care of your liabilities and how able you are to pay for them. And it comes in even in the insurance world here too.
Correct.
So it's a good thing.
You gotta pay your insurance premiums on time too.
Exactly. You gotta pay the insurance things. And I would say a major don't is don't leave yourself vulnerable to financial disaster from an accident you can't control. If you, like Laurel said, if you are not insured properly for your auto insurance, even if you have what the state requires for your auto insurance and you get in a crash and you ruin someone's brand new G-Wagon and you break both their legs, I don't think your $10,000 in liability or whatever it was is going to cover everything, you know,
right.
The property, yeah, the $10,000 of property damage and everything. So yeah, that's another huge benefit of having an agent is they can tell you what you should look at for coverage rather than going online and looking all these different options. Well, I could have this much coverage, but what does that actually mean?
Right.
So, yeah, don't leave yourself vulnerable to run into that type of situation for sure. So, yeah, just as some closing thoughts. Insurance is an investment in your future to protect your financial well-being. It's not as much about building up your finances, but protecting what you have worked hard for. You don't want to lose everything that you worked so hard for throughout your career from one accident. You know, that's not where anyone wants to be, and like you said, you can call it a necessary evil, but it's mm-hmm. important to have insurance because if your house burns down and you got to pay $400,000 to replace it, that's a lot more expensive than paying the $800 a year for the homeowner's insurance that you could have possibly had. So it's not all one size fits all. As Laurel was mentioning, there's a lot of different circumstances, even in just giving examples, she had to pick different things and say, oh, let's just say this was the case. So that's another benefit of having an independent insurance agent is they can go over your specific situation, make sure the insurance actually makes sense because they've worked with so many different people and figure out what policies are going to work best for you. And yeah, thank you so much, Laurel, for coming in and talking about these mm-hmm. items with me, going over insurance and sharing your expertise. It was great to have you here today. And yeah, thank you for watching and listening to what we had to say. We'd love to hear your feedback and hear any future questions that you may have. We're going to try to keep going with as many different situations that we can think of for different financial questions. So if you have questions or feedback, again, we'd love to hear it. You can email me directly at heytimmy@amindformoney.com. So you should be able to see that on your screen right now. Again, that's heytimmy, heytimmy, at amindformoney.com. And once again, we want to thank you for listening in today, and we hope to see you next time.